Please turn with me this evening in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our subject this evening is fruits of justification. The fruits of justification. Now, we have been considering over the last few studies in this tremendous letter the theme of justification by faith. The Apostle Paul, since chapter 3, has been expounding upon this theme, and he's been explaining what it is to be justified by faith, what it means, and laying it out at length. Justified by faith, just to very briefly recap, means that we are accepted by God on account of our faith, not our works. We cannot earn our way into heaven. We exercise faith in the way of salvation, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness and who has made full atonement for all our sin. So it's by faith. And Paul has demonstrated that justification by faith has always been the case. It has never been the case that we were justified by our works. That doesn't come from the Bible. And the Apostle Paul, well, he points to the example of Abraham. Was Abraham justified by his works? No, he wasn't. He was justified by faith. The father of the Jewish nation is also the father of faith. And remember the faith that he had, that we considered last week? His faith in the promise of God that he would have a seed, a son, Isaac, even though Abraham and his wife were way past the age of childbearing. Sarah, remember, described by the Apostle Paul, well, her womb was dead, the deadness of Sarah's womb, but God promised a child, and Abraham believed in God that he could do this, that this would be a gift of God. And so that was the faith that was exercised by Abraham. He believed that God could provide such a child. And in the same way, we are justified by faith when we believe in the great seed of Abraham, that great descendant of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we believe in that promise, the promise attached to the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is full forgiveness in him, through faith in him. We believe in him, all our sins are forgiven, and we are inheritors of eternal life. If we believe in that promise, then we are safe and secure. We are justified and accepted by God. But the apostle will now, in these first few verses of chapter 5, and I won't go beyond verse 5 this evening, the apostle will now detail some benefits or fruits of being justified by faith. There are tremendous benefits even in this life. When we are justified by faith, there are benefits in this life. We often think about justification by faith and we think of the eternal significance. It means, of course, that we have eternal life. We think about the life that is to come, and that's right to think of it in that way. But the Apostle Paul will say, even in this life, there are tremendous benefits to being justified by faith. And these things are glorious and tremendous. Well, the first fruit that I want to set before you this evening is found in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first benefit, the first fruit for those who are justified by faith. We have peace with God. Peace. Before we are justified, before we exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, of course, we don't have peace with God. We are by nature opposed toward God. We are enemies of God, rebels by nature, opposed to his will. We don't want God to rule over us. We are at hostile terms with God. We're at war with God, to put it bluntly. But when we are justified by faith, well, now we are at peace. Peace has been made between God and man. All our sins are forgiven. All our enmity and rebellion against God is forgiven. Why has this happened? How has this happened? Well, because Christ has died for us. He has taken the punishment upon himself for our sin. For our rebellion, he was punished. He has taken the full weight of God's wrath and anger instead of us. And so because that has happened, because he has suffered, well, there's peace for all those who have faith in Christ. This is how peace has been purchased. It's like a peace treaty at the end of a war. A peace treaty that has been devised by God. God is saying to us effectively, if you have faith in Christ, if you trust in him and in his shed blood, well, then there will be peace for you. There will be the forgiveness of all your sin. That is the peace treaty. Those are the terms, the conditions of peace between man and God. You must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is stressed in this first verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have peace outside of Jesus Christ, without Christ. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That peace treaty has been devised and written up by God, and it is, as it were, sealed by the blood of Christ. A treaty that is confirmed by the blood of Christ. And only by the blood of Christ can we have peace with God. So that's the first benefit of being justified by faith. We have peace with God. But then moving into verse 2, we see the second benefit. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access. That's the second benefit, the second fruit. We have tremendous access to God. Not just forgiveness, not just the pardon of sin, but we have access to God, reconciliation with God. We can commune with God. We can speak to God, draw very near to him. We read from Romans 8 earlier, and Romans 8:15, well, the Apostle Paul writes, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We can come to the Lord, we can come to God in prayer, as a favored son would come to his father. There's that same level of intimacy in prayer. We can draw very near to our God. He tenderly hears our cries and our prayers and our petitions, and he answers our prayers so freely. We have access by faith into this grace, but we can only have this if we are justified by faith. You cannot have access to God through the law. It's only if you are a man or a woman of faith. Access to the Lord in prayer has everything to do with justification by faith. And this is a glorious aspect of justification. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This is the third benefit we have. Hope of the glory of God. We have a certain hope. Those who are justified by faith, a certain hope. Hope of the glory of God. Well, the glory of God refers specifically to that glory that we shall see at the end of time. The glory of God, when Christ shall return in glory, when the new heaven and the new earth shall be established, the glory of God. This is a sure and certain hope for all those who believe. We have that eternal hope that we shall see that day and we shall be safe on that day. That is our unshakable hope and truth. We are not like unbelievers. Unbelievers have no hope on that day. When Christ comes again, there's no hope for any unbeliever. Those who have spurned the gospel, those who are atheists, those who are unbelievers, they don't have any hope on that day. There are some, even tragically so, who will have a false hope on that day. A false hope. That's even worse than having no hope. People who think they have hope on that day, but they don't have hope on that day. Who would we include in that group? Well, we would include those of other religions who somehow think that they have a hope of life after death, life beyond the grave. But you can search all the other religions. There is no hope of a savior. There's no salvation, there's no assurance that you'll ever be saved in any of those other religions. So they will have a false hope. They think that they will be all right, they'll be okay on that day, but they won't be. But we don't just mention other religions. There are those who are nominal Christians, and we so often speak about this, those who are simply outward religious, nominal Christians only by name, and they attend church perhaps, and they sing the hymns, and they say all the right things, but their hearts are far from God. They will have a false hope on that day. They never truly repented. They never lived holy lives. They never confessed their sin to God. They didn't feel they had to confess their sin to God. They don't really need a savior. They're good enough just as they are. That's what they believed. I'm good because I go to church. I'm good because I have Christian friends. Therefore, I don't need forgiveness. I don't need to confess and do all that sort of thing. They don't like the gospel. They're ashamed of the gospel, if you like. And well, that will be a terrible day for them. At the very end of time, the Lord Jesus Christ, well, when he returns, there are ominous words for them that we read in the scriptures. Luke chapter 9, verse 26, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." That's the picture that is set before us in the scriptures. When Christ comes again in his own glory, all those who were ashamed of the gospel, ashamed of having to grovel before God, ashamed, didn't like the whole idea of repentance, well, Christ will be ashamed of them on that final day, a false hope. But we don't have a false hope, dear friends. We have a sure and certain hope. In verse 5 of chapter 5 in Romans, we have that hope that maketh not ashamed. We won't be ashamed on that day. We have that certain hope of entering into heaven. Remember last week we spoke about how when God declares something, it is as good as done. If God declares that we are saved, that we are justified, well then we are as good as in heaven already. We're already there because God has declared it. But it's only if we're justified by faith. You can't have that if you're trying to earn your way to heaven through your works. But, we continue as we move into verse 3. We'll see the fourth fruit and benefit of justification. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God at the end of verse 2. But not only that, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and so forth. We glory in tribulation. That's the fourth benefit of being justified by faith. Tribulations, of course, means those trials and those difficulties that we face in our lives, the persecutions of being believers, those crises that come into our lives. We can glory in them. We as justified believers can glory in those things. Now, this is a prominent teaching in the New Testament, and you can turn to it with me if you want, but I'm turning to James chapter 1. I'll be brief in the first chapter of James. James chapter 1, and reading verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And we remember that the letter of James is considered to be the first inspired writing of the New Testament. This is the first teaching of the New Testament church. What is the first teaching? Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Temptations, that's the same thing, trials and tribulations. This is the first teaching to the believers of the early church. When terrible things come to pass, count it all joy. And then look at verse 3 in James chapter 1. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, worketh patience. And that word patience is very important, because if you turn back to Romans chapter 5, this is the exact same teaching of the Apostle Paul. Verse 3 again. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations, trials, worketh patience. Patience. This is our next benefit. We know patience and learn patience being justified by faith. When we think of the word patient here, well, it means endurance. It means being unmoved, unswerved. Even when difficult things come, we are unmoved. We're loyal to our faith. The unbeliever, the worldly person, is almost always moved and troubled when difficult things come into their lives. They're very alarmed even at the very thought of bad things. They spend their whole lives concerned and stressed about things that might happen. But for the believer, we're patient. We endure. There's no cause for us to be alarmed. We know that anything that comes into our lives, and we say this often, there are no accidents. There are no calamities. God is above all things. God is sovereign. If something has happened, he has allowed it to come to pass. And it is for a good reason. All that the Lord does is right and good. And so if there is a trial in our life, we always know that God has brought it to pass. Therefore, we won't panic. We won't fall to pieces. We won't despair. We won't say what a calamity has come upon us, because we know that God is over all things. So we are patient in every single trial. We have peace in trials, even serenity. And indeed, we see trials, or we ought to see trials, as an opportunity to prove God, to prove that the children of God are those who have that strength that comes from on high. We can prove that to other people. We're not like the rest of the world who struggle when problems come. A crisis has come into our life. We ought to think, now I can really prove God's power in my life. And we're patient, and we know that God will never bring anything into our lives that we can't bear. That's his promise to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Nothing that is too much for us will he suffer to bring upon us. And so when we know this, we can bear it. We can bear it with great patience. So patience, that is our next feature of being justified by faith. But the fifth feature, well, we see in verse 4. And patience, following on from patience, experience. So tribulation, trials, worketh patience, produces patience, endurance, and patience, experience. Well, that word experience in the Greek can mean testing or the result of testing. The result of testing. And what it means is this: when we emerge from any trial, we're always the better for it. We're always the better for it. We're refined by a trial. The people of God, they're always refined by trials. Trials are so good for our character. Trials can purge the character of sinful traits. Somebody who once was proud, well, if they go through a great trial in their life, they'll be humbled. They'll be made a humble person. They will learn humility. Somebody who is selfish in their life, well, if they go through a great trial, then they'll learn how to be generous, how to be kind, how to be sympathetic, and all those sorts of things. Christian people so often mature through trials. So many people I've known can testify that the greatest times of spiritual growth in their lives were the times of great trials. Not the times when everything was easiest, but the times when they went through very difficult things. That's when they matured the most. That's when they grew the most. Evidence, experience of these things. Experience also gives us evidence of God's sustaining faithfulness. When we go through trials, we have evidence that God is faithful, and we learn tremendous things from that. It was a great joy to speak to our dear brother and sister, Fido Senor and Anna Herrera, on the Lord's Day. And what came through, we spoke about the events of the last few months, but what came through is that this is a couple who have had this experience that the Apostle Paul is talking about. They have learned from experience. They've had a terrible trial in their lives, a terrible trial, and yet they have come through, and they're better for it. They're stronger in their faith. They have greater trust in God because of it, because they know that even in their darkest times, God was faithful. And God answered their prayers. Even when they were in despair, God heard them and answered their prayers and led them through and carried them. God carried them. When things were too hard for them, God carried them, and they could feel that, as it were. They could sense that underneath were the everlasting arms. They have that experience. They have that evidence of God helping them. And even while they're so young, at such a young age, they have that tremendous evidence that God will help them no matter what. And they can be a great comfort to others as they go through their lives. This is the experience. This is why we can rejoice, as it were, in trials and difficulties and tribulations. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. You have that great evidence in trials that God will never forsake you, that He's always with you. But again, this only comes for those who are regenerate and justified by faith. And then in verse 4, and experience hope. Well, we've spoken of hope, that hope in verse 5 that maketh not ashamed at the end of our lives. But there is a connection. The Apostle Paul is saying, when we see God's faithfulness in this life, when we see how faithful He is, even in our darkest hours in this life, that gives us greater desire to be with Him at the end. It gives us greater desire and longing for God's glory to appear. That is what it means here. Even after our trials, we still have that hope. It makes us long for heaven with greater zeal and greater desire, because we've seen the great faithfulness of our God and we long for His appearing again. But verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so our final benefit, or the final fruit of justification by faith, is perhaps the greatest. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God. When we consider that God sent His only begotten Son to suffer and to die for worthless sinners such as we are, when we think of that, well, then we know that we are loved of God. We are loved by God. Again, not just forgiven, not just accepted by God, but we are loved by God. That is what we know when we exercise faith. The love of God is shed abroad. That word in the Greek for shed abroad means poured out, like water is poured out. It's like the love of God is being poured into our hearts abundantly, almost to overflowing. Our hearts are overflowing with the love of God. The love of God, that's what you know and what you feel the moment you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved me and He gave Himself for me. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And also, something else we need to attach to this, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts to enable us to love Him. In order for us to love God, God has to give us that love. We don't have within ourselves, naturally speaking, we don't have any natural love for God. So when we say we love God, it's only because God has given us this love so that we can love Him back. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Not just that we know the love of God, but God gives us the love so that we can love Him. And that is a tremendous thing. God shedding abroad His love in our hearts so that we may love Him. This is all part of the riches of His grace. The love of God. Justification by faith. Yes, it's a legal declaration. A declaration made by God that we are not guilty in the sight of God. But it's not just a legal declaration. It's a loving gesture. It's an entering into a relationship with God, a loving relationship. And this is why we repent. This is why we obey God. This is why we serve God. Because we're forced to do so? No. Because we are loved by God. This is what compels us to give our lives to the Lord Jesus and to serve him until the very end of our days, because we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Well, dear friends, our time is up, but these are the fruits of justification by faith. Six of them, I recap very quickly. The first is peace with God. The second is access. We have communion with God. We can cry, Abba, Father, intimacy with God in prayer. The third is that certain hope of salvation. The fourth is patience, endurance in this life, no matter what comes about. The fifth is experience. We have that experience of God's faithfulness, and we are sanctified by that. And the sixth and final is the love of God. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. And we obtain this, all these six benefits and fruits, freely by faith, not by works. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank Thee for justification by faith, this tremendous doctrine that if we simply exercise faith in Christ, we are saved, we have eternal security and salvation, and we have so many benefits in this life to enjoy and to know, even when difficult things come. O Lord, we know that we have that endurance, and we know that we have that experience of Thy faithfulness and of Thine upholding. O Lord, we thank Thee for all these things. Bless us, dear Lord, that we may prove Thee in all these things. And O Lord, may each and every one of us trust in Thee, trust in Christ by faith and not by works. Lord, we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.